Advocacy and healing go hand in hand, but many people unknowingly fall into what we all know is called the savior complex. This is where we find ourselves overextending, taking on burdens that don't belong to us, and believe that we have to fix people to be effective advocates. This whole entire month, we are going to be talking about healing, advocacy, and our soul's work. Get it? Soul work for your soul work. Yes. But this particular episode, we are going to be talking about how to effectively do the healing work, that soul work, so that you can become the effective leader and advocate in your field, in your lane, that passion project, whatever it is that you just feel so burdened to put out into the world. We also want to ensure that we are in a authentically healed place to be able to know what is ours and what does not belong to us. Let's get ready to start the show. Welcome to the Soul Work Podcast, a space where we dive into the journey of reconnecting with our body, our intuition, and our soul's true divine purpose. Each week, we will explore how to heal from within using body-centered wisdom, somatic and holistic healing practices, and engage in soulful healing and transformative conversations that will support you on your path to wholeness. In this podcast, we'll uncover ways to recognize the messages our body is sending us, transform old wounds, and step fully into our divine power. So whether you're here to break free from past patterns, build resilience, or simply deepen your soul's awareness, this space is dedicated to your growth, your healing, and your unique soul journey. So take a deep inhale and exhale. Settle in, grab your cup of tea, and let's do the soul work together. This is your Soul Work Podcast for your soul's work. Hey y'all, welcome back to the Soul Work Podcast with Love. I am Love Ashley Elaine. I have been wanting to do a series on advocacy. I think on my Instagram, I even talked about wanting to do a series on advocacy. And I just feel like we are in this beautiful, energetic place to find something to stand on. To find something that just burns in our soul, that we can go create signs for and picket. I was gonna say picket fences, but picket signs and march and protest and do all the things because if you've been paying attention, I hope you've been paying attention, although it's probably better to be under a rock right now. What is happening on this larger scale is wild. And I've been like getting deeper into astrology and really understanding what is happening organically, spiritually, energetically, all of the things. And I tell you, it never lies. We are in such a pivotal time right now. We are in a space where healing is prominent, stepping out of our ego is needed, and really listening to our intuition, listening to our soul's calling, listening to the divine downloads that we get is probably greater than ever, right? We are being given an opportunity to either stay the same or be honest and look at ourselves and say, I can't keep living XYZ way anymore. I can't keep ignoring what my soul is asking me to do or calling me to do. I can't keep allowing this spiritual pregnancy that I have to keep dying, right? That might have been a lot for somebody, but let's just keep it raw. Let's just keep it real. This episode, I wanted to talk about what it looks like to identify being an advocate versus being in savior complex. I've been working in the children and family sector for over 20 years. I've learned so much about myself as an advocate, what that looks like in working with community organizations, helping build community organizations, being a sounding board for those that are trying to get community organizations up and running, being a part of a larger scale of services that go into the community and finding those community organizations as resources for other communities, for the community, right? And I think where this episode came into me, like how it came to me to do, one, I'm starting to really find myself, falling in love with early childhood. Like it's always been there. The love has always been there. And when I think back over like the last 8 years, I started a organization called Arise Power. I don't even remember how, well, yes, I do. I remember how the idea came to me, but I'm not about to get into that. But like 8 years ago, I started an organization, and it was more so like the internal groundwork, right? Really fleshing out what this looks like, how it's supposed to look, who it's for, all of those things. Where I needed to pivot, and it was a lot of pivots over these last 8 years, was moving away from the savior complex. Here's what I mean. At that time, I had just got serious about like my own healing and therapy and what I needed to do to heal, right? Whatever space I was in at that time, there was just something that was just like, hey, yeah, it's time. Right, I didn't know what it was, what exactly this was going to look like, what exactly I was healing through or from or whatever. But in that at that particular moment in time, I was being triggered back to sexual abuse from when I was a child. So at this time, also, I was working with kids. I was working with kids who had, like, my caseload was full of kids who had experienced sexual abuse, who were in JJC, who were having these really outrageous child family dynamics that were in programs, that were teen moms, that were like, I had a very rich caseload of trauma, which all of us did. But for me and my experience, and where like the version of me at that time, I was bound to get triggered. So, what I thought Arise Power was supposed to be was an organization that helps people heal from sexual trauma. And I allowed that to be part of the story and not keep going, right? Keep growing, keep healing, keep moving forward. I also had to learn that as much as I was able to be vulnerable with myself and my story and with others about my story, because I don't care. Like I like, and I say this often, I have come to terms with God using me. I have come to terms with God using me and my story and everything that I've been through to help other people heal, to help other people see that you don't have to stay in a broken place, that you don't have to stay in whatever has hurt you, that you don't even have to hurt people the way that you've been hurt, right? I have come to terms with that. It's out there. I'm on blast, whatever. So I'm now in a space where I'm understanding what this organization is supposed to be, who it's for, and it's very, very specific, right? I also write in my book, Married to Trauma, about Savior Complex because it has shown up in my relationships. It has shown up in my friendships. It has shown up in a lot of other spaces to where I've been depleted. I've been broken, right? So when we're talking about healing, advocacy, and soul work, and really being able to identify, am I in an advocate role or am I in a savior complex role? We want to understand that advocacy is about empowerment, not rescuing, right? If you tuned into the last episode, I shared about a personal story and how I reached out to this young girl who is, I reached out to this young girl's family. Go listen to the last episode because I'm not repeating this story. But I reached out to the young girl's family and instantly, right? Like I had talked to my therapist about it too, and instantly said to myself, and I think it was like a higher knowing, right? It was my soul saying, hey girl, we can't save her, right? We can't save her. We can't, like, if we save her, we got to save the next one. And if we save that one, we got to save the next one. And if we save this one, we got to save the next one. Like at some point, we have to re-identify what the sacrifice look like, especially in our line of work and what we are passionate about. All right. Advocacy doesn't always mean I have to go into the fire with you, right? It can mean, hey, let's have a concrete plan about what this is going to look like. I think now for us, like our generation, and where we are now, I think the collective has to come to a place where it's like, okay, you want to tear the systems down? Cool. That's fine. But we're secretly over here having meetings about how to rebuild the system that was already broken anyway. Go ahead and tear it down. Go ahead and tear it down. We want you to tear it down. It was already broken to begin with. The legal system is already broken. The education system is already broken. Most of these systems are already broken. We're already living in and having to deal with systems that are so intertwined with feminism and sexism and classism and racism. Let's go ahead and tear these systems down because there's collectives of us, there's communities of us that are gathering and ready to and secretly planning. We're having secret meetings. We're having secret meetings, right? So that we can rebuild things the way that they need to be more inclusive, to include everybody, right? I also like so I wrote a chapter in a book that will be out. I was part of a co-author book that will be out next year on reconciliation, and it's all about Dr. King's steps to reconciliation or steps to social change. The last step is reconciliation. And one of the things I brought into that my chapter was talking about the Brown versus the Board of Education case and how like it's almost like we were supposed to be satisfied with just a separate but equal. And it's like we're not even getting that. We're not even getting the separate but equal, right? We want separate and equal. We want individual, we want individualism and community, right? We want to be seen as individual humans, but also and also the collective of who we are, right? As a people, as a culture, as women, as whatever that context is, as the LGBTQ community. Many advocates, healers, and helpers also struggle with overextending. They go, we it turns into burnout. We attach our self-worth to saving other people. Let me tell you now, advocacy cannot be about you. Advocacy is not about you. It's not about you. Right? Your healing is about you. Your healing is about how can you become a better leader in your life, in your field, in your home, in your family, right? In your personhood. So that when you step into the leadership role, when you step into advocacy, when you step into that divine soul work that you've been called and created to do, right? You were crafted to do something very specific. It is not about you anymore, right? That's already the sacrifice. So anything extra is now attaching your self-worth to that. Attaching, if someone fails, you attach your self-worth to that. Why? Why? It's not about you. When we step into advocacy, we're talking about a mission that is about community, that is about villages, that is about families outside of your own, right? The sacrifice comes with stepping into leadership. The sacrifice is already stepping into the advocacy work because it's big shoes to fill. It's big shoes to fill. Why? Because everybody's looking at you for answers. Everybody's coming to you. But you also have to be able to say, I don't know. Let's talk about it. You're also going to have to be able to take a step back, right? And maybe just look, right? My pastor's always preaching about like eagle eyes, right? Being the eagle, being able to see the whole picture and not just what's in front of you. 'Cause if you look at what's in front of you, you're gonna quit. You're not gonna want to do it. You're gonna give up on your people, right? The people are gonna give up on you. The people might give up on you, and you still have to keep going, right? We talk about Gideon's army. His army got cut down 800 million times, and that's quite an exaggeration. It wasn't that many times, but there were so many times that his army got cut down to just 300 people. Gideon is an advocate, he's a leader, right? So advocacy is not attaching who comes with you and who doesn't to the work. It's not attaching your self-worth to the work being done, right? who's a part of the work, if they get saved or not, if they get fixed or not, right? Savior complex is the subconscious belief that we must save or fix people to prove our worth. Don't do it. It will get you messed up. Don't do it. I always say, and this is where I'm grateful for how my healing journey has been, because I've been literally healing every single part of me, every single part of me, mind, body, spirit, relationally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, career-wise, vocationally, every single part of me. Literally, I literally prayed for reincarnation here on earth, right? So and no, not everybody is praying that prayer. Nobody, not everybody is asking for a whole 180, like being completely made new, right? So when you ask that, you have to be ready for everything to be destroyed. Everything to be destroyed. I shared a video on my TikTok and Instagram. We are the first system that has to crash. We are the first system that has to be fixed, right? Or and I hate that word fixed. We are the first system that has to be evaluated, right? You are your own science project. I am my own science project. Before I do any coaching, before I do any advocacy work, before I do anything else, I am my first project. And then how I show up is the proof of that, is the proof of the work, right? So when we're asking for healing, we're also asking for what version of me is needed to step forth to do what my soul has been asking me to do, to produce the work that my soul has been like just like craving, right? There's some that like that feeling in your belly that is just calling for you to do, right? Every time I would try and get this off the ground, it just wasn't time. But I always say, and again, I get sidetracked. If you've been here with me, hi, you know that. But I always say, I am so grateful that I have found who I am. I have found the advocate within me. I have found the healer within me. I have found the helper within me. I have found the truth of my being while having nothing. Because then, for me, what that means is everything I do is coming from a place of authenticity. Everything I do is coming from a place of integrity. It's not me showboating. It's not me trying to prove that I'm something I'm not. 8 years of deep transformative healing work has led me to a space of knowing what is worth my advocacy time, what is worth fighting for, what my values are. If what is happening in on this big stage, if it aligns with those values, right? I'm very open about it on my social media. I've been boycotting Amazon and Target. 'Cause how dare you? How dare you? How dare you? How dare you, right? It's made me that much more aware and intentional as a person. Right? So, we're going to talk about three things: recognizing the savior complex and advocacy, shifting from savior to true advocate, and then advocacy as a sustainable soul-led practice, right? So, signs that you may be operating from the savior complex, you feel responsible for other people's healings. For other people's healing. There's no S on that, right? Why do we feel responsible for other people doing their healing work? Why? If they cared, they would go do it. If they cared, they would go do it. Another sign is you neglect yourself while helping others. Baby, when I tell you, I had to learn this, right? Especially being in the helping field. Especially being in the helping field. If you are a healer, a leader, a helper, any in any of those in the helping field where you hold space for other people to do work, to do the inner work, right? I want to hold space for you. I want to hold space for you. I want to hold space for you to remember that their healing is not your responsibility, right? You hold the container, and even like calling ourselves healers, right? We hold space for healing. I think that's been something that I'm also shifting away from. It's like, I'm a healer. No. Don't bring your shit to me. I will hold space for you. I will hold space for people who are ready to actually do the work. Because I did not do all this hard work to just give it to you, right? I can chop it in half for you and make it a little bit easier for you, but it's never going to negate the work that you have to do, the deep, deep digging, the nasty swamp soul work that you also need to do. Another part of that is you get attached to the outcome of other people's progress. I think this one is important because, one, for some reason, people think that healing is like it stops at some point. I was having a beautiful conversation with my godmother on over the weekend, and I love when we talk because it's like when we get to actually have like our deep chats, and we talk for like 3, 4 hours, and it feels like 20 minutes. It's such a reflective space. It's such a reflective space. Because there's sometimes there's moments where I feel like I haven't done enough, that I'm not doing enough. And then talking to her, I'm reminded that I've done a lot, that I continue to say yes to transforming, I continue to say yes to growing. And for her to be an elder, that I deeply respect, for her to be an elder and hear her say that she's trying new healing modalities because talk therapy has like it's ran its course, right? I just fall in awe. I just fall in deep awe because at some point, I don't know where we get this thing that healing is like a one and done thing. I feel like as long as there's breath in your body, there is so much more to be explored, right? Trauma isn't even a one and done thing. I think and I'm speaking for myself, I feel like I've gotten to a point where I don't let it control me. I don't let it control my thoughts, my feelings, my movements, my behaviors. I don't let it control how I show up in relationship with people. I don't let it be the first thing I talk about anymore, right? What's happened has happened, and it's a part of my story, but it's not the end of my story. There's no period there, right? But it's like to like I just fall in awe of I love people that continue to choose to grow, that don't get attached to what they think the outcome of healing is supposed to look like, right? Because there is no outcome. The outcome is you keep growing. The outcome is you change. The outcome is you recognize the behavior and you do something different, right? I think that's what maybe some people don't like, is that when people are starting to learn themselves and want to keep learning themselves and keep learning themselves and keep learning themselves and keep coming back home to themselves and undoing certain things and patterns and behaviors and thought processes and all of these things, and start pulling themselves up from the pits of hell, literally from the pits of hell. You ever seen somebody pull themselves up from the pits of hell? Those are my people. Those are my people, right? Like, there's no, I don't think there's a desired outcome. I think there is a desired outcome, but I don't think that's the final outcome, right? I think if your desires should grow with you, right? I think when you get to a certain point, something that you once wanted is probably now like, oh no, there's more, right? There's so much more that I can see, I can dream, I can have, I can do, right? And then another sign is you feel guilt or failure when you can't help enough. I think that's something to sit with, right? Why do you feel guilt? Why do you feel like you failed when you can't help enough? Because honestly, sometimes where you are is like, no, not sometimes. Where you are is enough, period. Where you are is enough. How you are able to help, how you are able to contribute is enough. Everybody has a capacity. And sometimes we try to outdo our own capacity, and that's where the burnout comes in, right? That's where the over exhaustion and exerting ourselves come in, right? That's where we put ourselves in this rat race of go, 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 hustle, hustle, hustle. And it's just like, yeah, and does that even feel good to your body? Right? Right. Now, this isn't for the people who could do more and only send thoughts and prayers, right? Like, we're not talking about that, but we're talking about asking yourself the genuine question, why do you feel like a failure if you, air quotes, can't help enough? Right? That actually happened to me today. I went to the store to get something and somebody stopped me and was like, oh, you look like you do something really important. And I was like telling them what I do or where I just came from to. And they asked me about donating to something that they had. I don't even know what it was that they were doing. They didn't even talk to me about what it was either, but I knew what my capability was, and I didn't have the capacity to be able to help them. Right? So I didn't sweat about it. And the funny thing is, I actually checked in with myself afterwards because a different version of me would have been like, oh my God, I feel so bad. Let me give them all of what I had left. And then I'm out on myself, right? And then it's like, well, why did I do that? That, I start playing this game. But it's like, if we can all come to awareness of what our actual capacity is and be okay with that, regardless of what anybody else might think, say, or feel, then we've done enough. You are enough right where you're at. And then when you do that healing work, you clear that system, you clear that container, you create more space. You create expansion. You open up the soul a little bit more. You open up the heart space a little bit more. You open up the body to be a portal to do so much more. Right? So you also need to heal while you feel like you didn't help enough, right? Where is that coming from? What's the narrative in the story that has told you that you didn't help enough? Coming into why some of these things happen, Got to do the inner child work. Got to do the inner child work. People think that just because we're not actually little kids anymore, that those wounds from our childhood do not follow us into adulthood. Those wounds are fresh. We are all kids, just paying bills and trying to navigate this life differently, right? Heal those child wounds. Heal those childhood wounds. Heal those childhood wounds. Some of you need to go actually play on a playground and let your inner child like see that you still care about her, that you're not stuffing her and trying to put away what has happened to her. Right? Your inner child, like the whole story about, oh, I feel guilty that I couldn't help enough, could also be someone telling you that you don't do enough, that you have to prove yourself to be enough. Right? There's also societal conditioning, especially for women and healers, and a lot of us black and brown people coming from certain and just that I think we it's a superhero syndrome thing, right? Black women have it greatly, the superhero syndrome that we have to save everything and save everybody. I believe that's also generational, right? Harriet Tubman did this whole Underground Railroad and save people, that savior complex. I mean, she still advocated, and I think she, well, we saw the movie. She got to a point where it was like, listen, listen, ninjas. You either gonna come or you not, and we leaving people behind, right? But there's still this thing where because we're seen as strong, we have to save and help everybody. And then when we don't do enough of that, we feel like we didn't do anything. And then fear of facing our own healing. I think this is the biggest one. I actually feel like this is the truth, right? This is actually the first under all of those. Sometimes it's easier to fix other people because we don't want to look at the things that need to be dealt with within ourselves. It is easier to go fix someone else because of the fear of having to face what we need to face within ourselves. Just gonna sit that right We can't be afraid of ourselves. Like you're afraid of your own shadow, but it follows you everywhere, right? Shadow work, bringing that unconscious to the conscious, being aware of the dumb shit that you do. The ego, being aware of your ego, being aware that you operate from your ego, being aware of when your ego is like, hey, we want to be in control. You can't bring that into advocacy. You can't bring that into leadership because then where's the compassion? Where's the human seeing human? Where's the like, are you if that's happening, are you even listening to your intuition? If something says pull out of that deal or pull out of that, like don't take your people to that place, right? Like you guys have been planning to go protest at on whatever street, and all of a sudden, like something is telling you not to. Are you going to listen to your ego or are you going to listen to your soul? Right? Because I bid you one further. If you're not emotionally wealthy and in tune, the motion of that will also lead you. So you can be still going and ready to fight with rage and anger when your soul is like, hey, something's off. We need to just back down, right? So, how do we shift from savior to true advocate? First things first, check in with you. Check in with you. What does healing for you look like, right? What is it about this cause or this thing that you're advocating for? What does it trigger in you? And let's talk about it, right? Triggers are not all bad. You can trigger joy, you can trigger anger, you can trigger good memories, you can trigger bad memories, right? I think we have society has only connected triggers to not so good emotions, not so good memories, whatever that looks like. But the strongest advocates are those who are continuously doing the inner work. They are constantly aware of themselves. They are grounded. You have to be grounded, right? They are aware of their emotions. They are in control of them, right? There's this like fine line in this beautiful dance with passion and anger and rage, right? If you tuned into the collaborative episodes that I did with my homegirl Key, we talked about one time, and it was very brief. We talked about sacred rage, right? Your rage is sacred. Right? It's okay to feel rage. It's okay to feel that passion. But how are we exerting that energy? Right? How you respond is the story that you tell. It's the legacy that you leave. It's the narrative that you're shifting. So what are you doing with that rage? Right? Rage is so sacred. I wish like if God blesses me with a daughter here on earth, I want to teach her that your rage is sacred, baby, because it is. You can fuel it into so much beauty, so much beauty, turning that flame into something so passionate that you just pour your energy into it and it does the healing work on its own, right? Another way to shift is empowerment. Right? Looking at the difference in empowering over rescuing. We're not rescuing anybody. We're not no savos. We're not rescuing anybody. It's all about empowerment. How can I empower somebody with what they already have, right? Strength-based, right? How can I empower somebody with what tools they already have? Right, recognize their autonomy and their agency, help them recognize their own, right? Pulling those strengths out of them, asking them the questions that help them look at their own strength, right? We don't want them to just look at their flaws or their faults or the things that they don't do right. And it's not a matter of right or wrong. Where's their strengths? Where are their strengths? Right? Everybody's not going to be able to walk in everybody's shoes. My strengths are going to be different from some of yours. Your strengths are going to be different from somebody else's. What an advocate does is helps other people look at the type of advocate that they are. So we advocate from our strengths, right? We advocate from that strong space of what we can contribute. Another way to do this is boundaries. Boundaries. I spoke about this on the last episode too, was that I had to set clear boundaries on what reaching out and helping and giving information and all of that looks like. So I'm not going to call the police for anybody. If you feel like you're in danger, you can do that. Or if this is needed, there's a way around it, right? So, what are the boundaries that you need to set in place so that you are protected and you still give people autonomy over their journey? Because everybody has their own journey. Nobody's journey is going to look like anybody else's. And you have to detach from the outcome. The law of detachment is detaching from the outcome, right? You want to get something done, you have to detach from the outcome. Because if you stay stuck on what something needs to look like coming out, you could actually miss how it's actually supposed to turn out, right? It's releasing perfection, it's releasing control, it's releasing and surrendering to our highest and greatest good, God the divine, whoever you subscribe to, right? Because we can only do so much, right? We forget that all of this is spiritual, all of this is energetic, all of this is bigger than us in this human form, but we are the portal to getting the work done. So we have to surrender so that we can be used effectively and efficiently. And then constantly reflecting and asking yourself, am I stepping into my power or am I stepping into fear and control? Am I stepping into a space of empowerment or am I stepping into a space of fixing and it has to be done the way that I want it to be done? Am I advocating from a place of overflow or am I advocating from a place of depletion? Because if I'm advocating from a place of overflow, the passion is going to be there, right? Like, I'm never going to run out of passion for what it is I'm advocating for. But if I'm doing it out of depletion, then I have to ask, where are the leaks? And the leaks aren't going to be other people. The leaks are going to be the holes that I haven't patched up within myself. Another question would be, what does it feel like when I show up without attachment to the outcome? Right? How do you show up when you detach from the outcome? This last part is advocacy as a sustainable soul-led practice, practicing discernment. We have to really learn to trust our intuition. And I'll be the first to tell you, it is the scariest thing on earth to trust my gut. It is the scariest thing on earth. When I started actually practicing to trust my intuition, and stop asking everybody else for permission. So many beautiful things have happened, and so much peace has come into my life. When I started practicing listening to my intuition, I stopped asking other people for permission. I was able to pull back where I needed to pull back. I was able to leap where I needed to leap. I was able to be still when I needed to be still. We have to practice discernment. We have to practice listening to our intuition and know, okay, I need to step back from this person. I need to step back from this situation. I need to step back from this cause. I need to just even take a step back to regain focus, right, on the bigger picture. Because again, we're coming into that bird's eye view. When you're in advocacy, when you're in leadership, you're looking at what is the bigger picture, right? What's the big puzzle and what piece do I need to start with? We lead from compassion and not control. I'm just going to leave that one there. We lead with compassion and not from a place of control. Because again, if we're trying to control everything, then that means we're looking for a specific outcome and not letting things divinely and organically unfold the way they need to, right? When you're advocating from a sustainable soul-led practice, you are honoring your own healing journey. And somewhere in there, it also allows you to be able to hold space for other people while they're on theirs. There's such this beautiful thing that happens when two people are down and they can still help each other. They can still celebrate one another. They can still love one another. They can still appreciate one another. And it's not, and then, and let's go further. You then start to recognize, I'm not down. That person starts to recognize, I'm not down. You both start to recognize, I'm in community. I'm in a space of transition where I'm finding the right community. I'm finding the right people. I'm finding the right space that isn't going to judge me for not being where I'm believed I'm supposed to be. Because again, we have life happening, and then us trusting our soul, trusting our discernment, trusting our intuition. And let me tell you, having life and trusting intuition all at the same time, it looks nasty. It looks gross. It looks disorganized. It looks crazy. But this is why I also always say you have to go with how your life feels, because it's not always going to look the same way. How do you want your life to feel? How do you want it to feel, right? That's the same thing coming into advocacy, right? And another one, last one, the power of community-led advocacy, allowing healing to be collective rather than dependent on one person. Advocacy is so healing. It's so healing. I'm grateful that I get to do this work. I'm grateful that I have been entrusted to do this work. There's something about sharing your testimony is advocacy, right? Sharing those hard, vulnerable, transformative moments is advocacy. All right. Advocacy is healing. Advocacy gives people hope that what they desire, what they want to change, right, whether within themselves, within their bloodline, in their home, in their community, in their state, in their country, whatever, what have you, is possible. All right. Advocacy is healing in itself. It is a very beautiful thing. It is a very beautiful thing. It saves lives. It saves lives. I did a presentation to some Head Start educators in February and talked about how, as an educator, you are an advocate, especially in Head Start and early childhood, and just specifically what Head Start was created for, right? So you think about some of these grassroots programs. I was about to say projects. You think about some of these grassroots programs. You think about agencies, federal, like it's a federal government federally funded program, but you think about why it was started. Right? It was to advocate for communities and families, majority Black and Brown, Latino and Latina, anything other than Caucasian, to have the same opportunities as white families, as the white children, as the children who are fortunate to be in good neighborhoods and public schools and so on and so forth, to have access to mental health services, prenatal services, maternal child health services, to have access to proper social emotional development, behavior development, whatever it, like everything in that early intervention realm too, right? Like those first 5 years being so crucial to what sets a child up for life. It's access. Head Start was created for people to have access. So it was started, it's advocating for people to have access. You can't let your ego get in the way of advocating for other people to have access. You can't make this about you. You can't make what you advocate for about you. It's not about you. It's meant to come through you, right? It's meant to come through you. So I always say, as a leader, it is so imperative to do your healing work. It's so imperative. It's so important. I don't want anybody leading me that doesn't know how to tap into their emotions safely. I don't, not in my house, not in my relationships, not in my friendships, none of it. Not in business, none of it. We don't have time for control when there's a bigger mission at play. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about the greater good of the people, the public, the nation, the world, the children, right? I believe the children are future, right? It's about understanding that our soul work, which is our emotions, our will, like everything within our being, has to come to this deep transformative place of vulnerable truth so that we can do our actual soul's work. You are here to do something bigger than listen to your raggedy ass ego, right? The ego is there. It's there for a reason, right? It's our protective factor. It's the thing that makes us say, put our walls up and our guards up and puff our chest. What is your soul saying? What is the story that your soul is giving you? Lead from that place, love from that place. Please go find a therapist. Go find a really good coach. All right. So here's the thing. Here is the thing. I have something for you. If you are a healer, a leader, a helper, you want to get deeper into your soul's work, I have a 5-week soul work coaching program that is launching April 10th. I would like to do this in a cohort fashion, and I am also open to doing it one-on-one because I understand that part also. If you want to deepen your advocacy work, if you want to deepen your soul work without burning yourself out, without the sacrifice, without blurring all these lines, right? And really, really get into what is it that my soul needs me to produce here? How do I step into my power to authentically do this work without doubt, without the fear, without all these things holding me? Tap into the show notes I have all the information for you to sign up, for you to register. It is 5 weeks. We will also be reading The Alchemist. So make sure you have that book. It is an amazing book. I love this book. The Alchemist is one of my favorite books. Like some of these note tabs that you see behind me, post-its, a lot of quotes from The Alchemist. So I will probably be reading it again when I get a minute to stop reading schoolwork, right? Our affirmation for this week: I am here to empower, not to save. I honor my own healing and I hold space for others. Take a nice big inhale and exhale. There is a leader within you. She is ready to come forth. She is ready to be the boss that she is meant to be. And she is also ready for you to dive into some of that healing work that we talked about, right? We want to lead from our soul, not from our ego, not from our pain. Oh, that's going to be a beautiful episode. Turning the pain into purpose, not leading from the pain on purpose. I love you all for free. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Until next time. Bye.